The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter number 2, Texts number 24 and 25, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 26, 2011, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Texts 24 and 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ajamilopya pyatakarnya.
Ajamilopya pyatakarnya.
Dutanam yama Krishnayo.
Dutanam yama Krishnayo.
Dharmang Bhagavatam Shudhang.
Dharmang Bhagavatam Shudhang.
Traivedyang Jagunashrayam.
Traivedyang Jagunashrayam.
Ajamilo Pyatakaranya.
Ajamilo Pyatakaranya.
Dhutanang Yama Krishnayo.
Dhutanang Yama Krishnayo.
Dharmang Bhagavatam Shudhang.
Dharmang Bhagavatam Shudhang.
Traivedyang Jagunashrayam. Bhaktiman Bhagavata Ashu Mahatmya Shavanandare Anutapo Mahan Asit Smarato Shubhamatmanaha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After hearing the discourses between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, Ajamiyo could understand the religious principles that act under the three modes of material nature. These principles are mentioned in the three Vedas. He could also understand the transcendental religious principles, which are above the modes of material nature, and which concern the relationship between the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Furthermore, Ajamil heard glorification of the name, fame, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He thus became a perfectly pure devotee. He could then remember his past sinful activities, which he greatly regretted having performed. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 2.45, Lord Krishna told Arjuna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirvandavo Nichatvasto Niyoga Chema Atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all the dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. The Vedic principles certainly prescribe a gradual process for rising to the spiritual platform. But if one remains attached to the Vedic principles, there is no chance of his being elevated to spiritual life. Krishna therefore advised Arjuna to perform devotional service, which is the process of transcendental religion. The transcendental position of devotional service is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.2.6 Savai Pung Sang Puro Namo Yato Bhakti Radhoksije. Bhakti, devotional service, is Paro Dharma, transcendental Dharma. It is not material Dharma. People generally think that religion should be pursued for material profit. This may be suitable for persons interested in material life, but one who is interested in spiritual life should be attached to Paro Dharma, the religious principles by which one becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, Yato Bhaktir Radhokshaje. The Bhagavad religion teaches that the Lord and the living entity are eternally related, and that the duty of the living entity is to surrender to the Lord. When one is situated on the platform of devotional service, one is freed from impediments and completely satisfied. Ahaitakiya pratiyata yadma supersediti. Having been elevated to that platform, Ajamil began to lament for his past materialistic activities and glorify the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Varakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is making a clear distinction between transcendental religion and mundane religion. There is parodharma and aparodharma. What is going on nowadays in the name of religion is aparodharma. They approach God to fulfill their material desires. This is a big mistake. Because even though you may get your material desires fulfilled, you won't get Krishna. So what is the use of it? This is how people are taught to pray to God. If you need some money, you pray. Need a job, you pray. If you want a husband or a wife, you pray. You see, in this way, we want to win the war against the enemy, we pray to win the war. So in this way, people are completely misguided. To pray to God for material things is actually quite foolish. It's like approaching a multi-billionaire and asking for one litu. Even if Krishna can give you all the opulence of Brahmaji, the whole material universe, that is nothing compared to bhakti. So why one should pray for material things? It's very foolish to do that. It's a waste of time. Shama eva hi kevalam. Foolish waste of time. One may say, well, I want Krishna consciousness. I know it's the ultimate goal, but I need so many material things. So along with chanting Hare Krishna, I'll pray for the material things too. What's the harm with that? Well, I'll tell you what the harm is. While you're lighting the fire with one hand, you're pouring water on it with the other hand. On the one hand, you're trying to ignite the fire of pure bhakti. On the other hand, you're cultivating material desires within your heart. Approaching God to fulfill your material desires does not free you from those material desires. It's simply another way of maintaining your material desires, that's all. You may say, well, but if my material needs aren't met, then how can I do my service? Let me ask you this. When you were a child growing up in the home of your parents, when you got up in the morning, did you say, Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me today? Please, Mommy and Daddy, feed me today. I didn't. Did you have to, any of you have to do that? To beg your parents for food? No. The parents love you. You're their children. They'll give you the food. So do you think God is a poor man? You think he's not as well off as your parents? That my parents could provide without my asking, but I don't think God could provide unless I asked him. Is that intelligence? No, it's foolishness. I never asked my parents to feed me, but now I have to ask God, please give me my daily bread. That's a standard prayer for the Christians. Dear God, give us our daily bread. I mean, what is this nonsense? We have to beg God for the daily bread. Please, my dear Lord, give me my daily chapatis. It's not required. So, how can you please your parents? What will give them the greatest pleasure and satisfaction with you if you're their child? If you said, my dear mother and father, how can I serve you with love? You think they would be happy to hear them? Oh, they would be amazed. Wow, this is wonderful. My child is asking, how can I serve you with love, my dear mother and father? That will give the greatest happiness. So, why don't we be a little intelligent then? Instead of begging God for material things, why don't we just beg Him for bhakti and nothing but bhakti? Krishna guarantees in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 22. Ananyaschintayantomam yejana prayapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who approach me only for bhakti, who don't ask me for material things, whose only desire is pure bhakti, I give them everything they need. Everything. So why should we be so stupid to keep bothering God, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me? It means we weren't trained well, that's all. I know, this is how I was trained. When I was this little boy, about 6 years old, my parents wanted to teach me to believe in God. So they said, little Stevie, would you like a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas? And they said, then you should pray to God every night, dear God, please give me a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas. And sure enough, on Christmas morning, what was under that tree? My cowboy boots. Karma boots. And now I could think, oh, if I ask God for something, God is real, because if I ask Him for something, He will give it to me. So this is the level of God consciousness my parents trained me in. Therefore, I was not satisfied with the Christian church. They did not teach me to pray for bhakti. Even though Christ specifically prays for bhakti in the Bible. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That is pure bhakti. But the Christian ministers do not even understand their own Bible. That Christ is teaching Savardaman Parityaja. That is the same thing. You understand? Christ says, Father, not what I want, but what you want. That is Savardaman Parityaja. Same thing. Christ is teaching full surrender, but they have no idea what it means. They're so caught up in material desires, you see. Therefore, I was not satisfied. And I prayed to God for guidance. How to become the pure devotee? Please guide me. And that's when He sent Vishnu Janaswami to my city to enlighten me in the science of Krishna consciousness. So leaving aside these mundane prayers and only praying for bhakti, that gives complete satisfaction. And then Krishna gives you whatever you need. Now, sometimes everybody says, well, I need this, but I don't have it. Why? That is also Krishna's mercy. If you're trying to cultivate bhakti and at the same time you're maintaining your material desires, then Krishna will be very kind and take away all your material facility. Who is the famous person that this happened to? Draupadi. They were trying to strip off her sari. And she had some material facility to fight them. She had one with one arm, you see. So she was, on one hand, she wanted to surrender to Krishna, please, Krishna, protect me. She was one arm, she was calling to Krishna. But she was thinking, by my strength, by my material abilities, I will protect myself. She was thinking like that. It was not pure bhakti. So when she was in that mood of mixed one arm to Krishna and one arm in my strength, you see. And she was losing the battle. They were taking off her sari. But when she realized, what is my material strength? It's nothing. I just have to fully depend on Krishna for everything. Not halfway calling to Krishna and halfway trying to make my own material arrangement. No, completely, totally absorbed in pure bhakti. That's what she realized. And as soon as she did that, what was the result? She got an unlimited sari. No matter, those Kshatriyas were worn out trying to take off her sari. They were just exhausted. They could not disrobe her because Krishna gave her the unlimited sari. So we should learn this lesson from Draupadi. Right now we're praying for pure bhakti. But we're thinking, but I will make my material arrangements to enjoy. Will we be successful in enjoying by our material arrangement? No. Even if you can be very successful and go all the way to becoming Brahmaji, you will still not be satisfied. What is the proof? Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mam upechita kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest. All are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janmana vidyate, he never takes birth again. So why should we try to make our own arrangements? Is that a very intelligent thing? That I will make my own arrangements, you see. No, just see how you can satisfy Krishna. Make that your only desire. How to satisfy Krishna. So what does Krishna say? How to satisfy him? Ye me bhakta jana parata na me bhaktashtate janaha mad bhakchanam chiye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear son of Prita, Arjun, the one who is my devotee, not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to satisfy Krishna? It means you have to have a spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinas tatvadarshinaha. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire submissively, render service. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Some devotees think, well, as long as I'm chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles, I can go back to Godhead. But what does Srila Prabhupada say in the introduction to the Nectar Devotion? He says, unless you're initiated, Krishna doesn't accept your service. That's a pretty strong statement from Srila Prabhupada. You mean I can't just chant 16 rounds and follow the principles and go back to God? I have to take a spiritual master? That's so heavy thing to take a guru. I mean, my goodness. Yes, it is heavy. That's what guru means. Guru means heavy. You're right, it is heavy. We need that heavy thing. Unless you can take the heavy thing of shelter of guru, the material nature will always be pulling you away from Krishna. If you can take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you will be protected from the influence of the material nature. So it's very nice that so many people are chanting 16 rounds and following the principle. It's very good. You have reached the second stage of bhakti, sadhu sangha. Now if you want to go to the higher levels, the next step is you have to take a spiritual master. That's the third step. And then from there, you can clean the anarthas out of your heart, you can become solidly fixed. You can develop ruchi, taste, attachment, asakti. You can completely purge all of the dirt out of your heart and reach the bhava stage, where you'll be able to see Krishna face to face. And the prema stage, where you can have constant personal direct exchange with Krishna. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to have a spiritual master. You have to be initiated. Initiation is your ticket to get on the airplane. Of course, you have to have along with a ticket, you have to have a visa as well. That visa is pure bhakti. But no guru means no ticket. And if I have guru but I don't follow his instructions, that means no visa. So you need that initiation, that's the ticket, and you also need the visa, that's pure bhakti. You take the spiritual master, then he is taking the responsibility to get you the visa. He wants to deliver you back to Godhead. So by paying initiation, now you are underneath the guru's instructions. He's now your authority. He is now your authority. Whatever instruction he gives you, you have to take that as your life and soul. And by that surrender to the order of the spiritual master, you're always keeping him within your heart. And he accepts you fully into his heart also. In this way, you're perfectly sheltered. And you're guaranteed to become liberated at the time of death. If you are fully surrendered to the orders of your spiritual master, then whatever Gurudev tells me, I will do my best to try to carry it out. That full surrender to your spiritual master's instructions is your guaranteed entrance into the spiritual sky. But without guru, just chanting and following the principles is not enough. Because the third nam aparad is to disobey guru's order. So guru is ordering you should get initiated. If you don't get initiated, you're disobeying guru's order. You're namaparadhi. And you won't be qualified to go back to Godhead. So this process of pleasing Krishna is not difficult. It is sometimes said, if you love me, love my dog. So if you want to love Krishna, you have to love Krishna's dog. Krishna's sabaka. That is the spiritual master. He is the dog of God. So if you can learn how to love the dog of God, the Guru Maharaj, then Krishna will be very pleased. And you'll become qualified to regain your original eternal identity in the pastimes of Krishna. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Rodas yra labai budrus ir ką daryti, jeigu iš tikrųjų Rodas neprašai jokių materialių pralinkimų, neturi materialių troškimų, bet kaip pasakyti, neprašai nieko, ar tai reiškia, kad tai irgi yra tam tikra prasme kultivavimas materialių troškimų, net jeigu jų neprašai, kaip pasakyti.
Neprašai, bet
Nu, neprašai, bet nei to, nei to, bet nežinau, dėl taip.
Jeigu neprašai, nei transakcijai, nei materialiai.
Jo, nu, ta prasme, jo, nei to, nei to, neprašai. Ar tai vis tiek skaitasi kultivavimas, iš tikrųjų, materialių troškimų?
If I'm not begging, not for bhakti, not for material desires, it means that I'm still cultivating material desires?
As long if you're not begging for bhakti, and you're not begging for material desires, that means you're an impersonalist. Gyani.
Yeah.
And that you're not qualified to go back to God in that position. You'll be stuck in the cycle of birth and death. So that's why you need a spiritual master. To bring you beyond the platform of gyan. The platform of bhakti. I'm hoping you will get the message. This is the perfection of your gyan. I appreciate your gyan. You're a very learned woman. I appreciate that. But the difficulty is application. You're not applying the knowledge perfectly. The knowledge is very attractive and very sweet. But in due course of time, if it's not applied, it loses its taste. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, "Avyuja krishchena parang padam tada patantyucho nadasya yushmadangrayaha." That those who come only to this platform of Gyan, if they don't take up bhakti, eventually they fall down to the material desires once again. So you can't remain in this limbo state with no spiritual desires and no material desires. You can't remain there forever. Even if you are there, if you're really there, that's debatable. I mean, we all have desires to eat. You know, not that you've given up eating. You know what I mean? But even if you were free of all material desires, that would still not liberate you. You have to take shelter, complete shelter of a spiritual master by initiation. That's what you need if you want to get liberated. I've been preaching to you for years now, watching and waiting. When is this very nice, intelligent woman come to the higher platform? Become a surrendered devotee. I'm praying to Srila Prabhupada that you will come to your senses now and get ready for initiation. And the Shishi Gornitai and the Shishi Radhadamodar are asking for all their blessings that you can get ready now for initiation. I don't want to see you rot in the cycle of birth and death. You're too good of a person for that. You're a very pious, sweet, wonderful person. I want to see you attain perfection now. That's my very strong desire in my heart to see you attain perfection. Any other questions? Okay.
Why people get interested in bhakti because of Krishna's mercy or because they are dissatisfied with material things?
There are different reasons described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvid ha bhajante mang jana sukriti narjana arto jyagasya artarti gyanicha bharatarshaba. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is seeking knowledge of the Absolute. So these are the four different reasons that people come to Krishna. Any other questions?
How should I act? Because Srila Gurudev is giving so many instructions during the class and other meanings, so many that I even cannot remember all this, and I am not able to do all this. So how I should act?
Well, do you have an internet connection? The lectures are recorded and you can review them. That's one thing. Another thing is you can bring a note, you can take notes during the classes also. If you're having a hard, if there's important points in the classes and you're not able to remember them, you can take notes. I know when I attend the classes of my God brothers, I often take notes. Because so many very wonderful points are made. So, and in spite of that, if one is still having difficulty, then one could have a personal darshan also. To get a tailor-fitted suit, so to speak. It's like you can get a... We gave the example last night. You can get a regular suit at the department store, you can go to a tailor and get a custom-fitted suit. Of course, your spiritual master is there. And you can directly contact him. But if you find that our instructions are helping you to serve your spiritual master's desire, then you can always have a darshan with us also. We can try to help you to be more solidly situated in service to your Guru Maharaj. Other questions?
It is good that if someone wants to get to a spiritual world to get enjoyed, because he is
to get what?
Enjoyment, material enjoyment.
No, material enjoyment is an obstacle. The desire for material enjoyment is an obstacle for attaining the spiritual world. If I have a desire for material enjoyment, I must take birth again. I won't go back to Godhead. One should only desire to satisfy Krishna. With all of your thoughts, words, and deeds. In all times, places, and circumstances. One may say, well, then how will I be happy? If I only do things for Krishna's enjoyment, I don't do things for my enjoyment, how I'll be happy? You know the example of the hand and the belly. Krishna is like the belly and you are like the hand. If the hand tries to enjoy the food separately from the belly, can it digest the food through the skin? That hand can squeeze the rice all day long on the fingers. It won't be able to get any nutrition from that rice. But if that hand will then put the food in the mouth, so it goes to the belly. By giving the enjoyment to the belly, then the hand will get the nutrition it needs. So I understand you're a young girl. You want to enjoy, I understand. So I want to teach you how you can enjoy unlimitedly. If you try to enjoy separately from Krishna, you will sometimes think you're happy and sometimes think you're unhappy. But I can tell you this, even when you think you're enjoying, actually you're still suffering even at that moment. It's only when you give enjoyment to Krishna that you actually enjoy. And as you perfect that art of giving enjoyment to Krishna, then you experience unlimited enjoyment. So material enjoyment means the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Such desires are your enemy. Such desires will make you a miserable person. So what to do when you get a material desire? Kick it out. Get out of here, rascal material desire. I don't need you. I don't want you. You're a rascal. Get lost. Next question.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Vedic literature, the Vedas, the knowledge in the Vedas is not parotama. So could you explain how it is not parotama?
Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, sako kad žinios Vedose nėra parodharma, ar galima tas paaiškinti?
There in the Vedas, there are two types of instructions. There are Apara Dharma and Para Dharma instructions, both in the Vedas. For those who are materialistic, there are instructions to help them gradually make progress so they can come to the spiritual platform. You may say, well, why would the Vedas have instructions for material enjoyment? It doesn't make sense. But I'll give you an example. Just like the governments of the world, mostly the governments now, just like in the major governments in the Western countries, they are officially restricting cigarette smoking. You can't smoke if you're this age. The smoke, you're limited, you have to pay heavy tax.
There's
all these warnings posted everywhere, cigarette smoking is bad for your health. They make it very clear. In the U.S., the Surgeon General, who's the top doctor in the country, has a big warning, cigarette smoking is dangerous for your health. You go to the airport, it says no smoking allowed, you see. But then within the airport, there'll be a smoking room. A special room where smoking is welcome. Where cigarettes are considered to be practically God. You come on in. We can enjoy smoking together in the smoking room, you see. So if the government is against smoking, why they allow a smoking room? They want to limit, because the cigarette smoking will go on anyway, they want to limit and restrict it. So the Vedas are like that. Sense gratification is kicked out of the Vedic conception. No sense gratification. Only pure bhakti. That's the Vedic philosophy. But just like the airport gives a smoking room for the smokers, the Vedas give a sense gratification area for the sense gratifiers. To restrict them. To remind them, this is actually bad for you. We're going to let you do this, but we want to remind you it's bad for you. Just like there's an Upanishad where it gives facilities for meat eaters how to sacrifice a goat to goddess Kali and eat the goat. Here's how you can eat meat legally according to Vedas. You see. Legal meat eating is there in the Vedas. But you have to pray that you can become a goat next life and be slaughtered by the goat you just slaughtered. So it's just like the cigarette, the government and the cigarette policy, you see. They're against cigarettes, but they give facility within restrictions for those who are going to smoke anyway. So you find the same thing in the Vedic wisdom. Any other questions? Atmaram.
Bhakti kelia pasirinka keturių rūšių jų būtybės kenčiantys, stokojantys žinių, išmintingieji smalsieji. Tai būtent prašantys materialių turtų, tai ar galima sakyti, kad jie irgi daro progresą? Tiesiog smerktina tai.
Krishna is approached by four different kinds of people. So this kind of people who approach Krishna to get material desires, can we say that they making some progress?
Can they make progress?
Yes. Is he making some progress?
Yeah, it depends. If that person is fortunate to come in contact with a pure devotee, and they open their mind wide enough to actually understand what he's saying when he preaches to them. Then he can inject the seed of pure bhakti in their heart. And then if they realize what they just gotten, I just got the seed of pure bhakti planted in my heart. Let me do something. This is the greatest treasure. This is greater than all the wealth of the whole universe. I have gotten the seed of pure bhakti planted in my heart by the pure devotee. Now let me do something with this bhakti lata bij. Let me water it by regularly chanting. Let me protect the garden of all the weeds by following the regulated principles. Let me build a strong fence so I don't commit any Vaishnava parads. If one will do this, then that, even though they approach Krishna and fulfill material desires, now they can achieve pure bhakti. It's by the grace of Guru and Krishna if they can get that seed of pure bhakti. There's no karma that deserves it. Even the most pious karma does not deserve the seed of pure bhakti. Therefore, it is called causeless mercy. If one can somehow get that seed of pure bhakti by coming in contact with a pure devotee, then they can go beyond the realm of material desire into the spiritual world. Yeah.
Mano klausimas yra, kaip mokytas davė pavyzdį sekundį, kad jinai iš vienos pusės dėjo pastangas, kad save apsaugoti, iš kitos pusės vien dėl viešpaties pagalbos. Bet čia paklaus praktiškai, kad, pavyzdžiui, atliekant atsidavimo tarnystę, mes turime dėti praktinės kažkokias pastangas, ar tiesiog visiškai paleisti viską ir prašyti iš tos pagalbos, kaip praktiškai ir kaip suprasti šitą pavyzdį.
Then Kunti was begging Krishna help, and on one hand she was trying
Draupadi,
Then we making some devotional service, we do our duties, so we should only beg Krishna or also put some endeavor to do our duties. How
to act in this way? Okay. So, what is the lesson to derive from Kunti's, Draupadi's prayer and her giving up the endeavor to protect her chastity by holding onto the sari? Should we think that means that I shouldn't do any service, I should only just beg Krishna?
Tad iš Draupadės pavyzdžio, kokį mes gauname pamokymą, ar mes turime tai melsti Krishnos ir nedaryti jokios tarnystės?
No, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do any service. Because our service is begging.
Todėl, kad mūsų tarnystė ir yra prašymas.
By engaging in service with body, mind, and words, we are begging Krishna in every possible way to engage us in his pure devotional service.
Užsiimdami tarnystę savo kūnu, protu ir žodžiais, mes meldžiame viešpatės, tai yra priemonė, kaip melsti viešpatės, kad jis...
The duties by given by the spiritual master are prayers in action.
Mūsų pareigos, kurias mums davė dvasinis mokytojas, tai yra mūsų... Maldos veiksme.
We are praying 24 hours a day here.
Mes čia meldžiamės 24 valandas per parą.
Whether I'm chanting my japa or I'm cleaning the toilet, I'm praying, that is prayer. And I'm praying, I'm begging for pure devotional service by all of my activities. That is how we're training you.
Aš jūs mokau, kad jūs ar kartuotumėte japa, ar plautumėte toiletą, tai būna, tai būna jūsų malda, tyros bhakti malda.
Is that clear? Okay.
Kuomet yra dirbtinas atsižadėjimas ir ar toks atsižadėjimas yra pavojingas materialių troškimų?
Artificial renounce.
How to understand if I am artificial renounce and
Andradaris klausimas.
Ir kada jis yra pavojingas?
In this artificial renounce, it is dangerous or not?
Artificial renunciation means if something can be engaged in Krishna's service and you don't engage it in Krishna's service, that is artificial renunciation.
Jeigu kažkas gali būti panaudota tarnystei Krishna ir nėra panaudojama, tai reiškia netikras atsižadėjimas.
Just like you, for example.
Pavyzdžiui, jūs.
You could fully surrender to Krishna.
Jūs galite tikrai atsiduoti Krishna.
You could become initiated disciple and fully surrender.
Tokiu būdu galima atsiduoti.
The fact that you don't do that, that is artificial renunciation.
Ir kadangi tai nedarote, tai yra netikras atsižadėjimas.
It's called Bhagu Vairagya. It's artificial renunciation.
It is okay. Dangerous?
Yes, it's very, very dangerous.
That's right. O kaip yra su motina Teresė, iš tikrųjų tiek tarnavo žmonėm ir jinai priimta kaip šventoji iš tikrųjų. Ar jos tarnystės reiškia Dievas nepriėmė?
You told that if we not if we have no spiritual master, Krishna does not accept our service.
I don't say that. Prabhupada says it.
And second part, what about Mother Teresa, because she is serving so much, but she has no spiritual master. So it means that Krishna does not accept her service?
Serving humanity and by taking care of their material needs is not devotional service.
Tarnauti žmonijai materialiomis priemonėmis, tai nėra sėdimo tarnystė.
feeding the poor, caring for the sick, that is not devotional service. Because you're serving the body. That is not devotional service. It's the mode of goodness. It's sattva guna, but it's not transcendental. If I help you, if you're sick and I nurse you back to health, that is not devotional service. Because I'm simply serving your body, that's all. So whoever it may be, they may be famous, they may not be famous, if they're only serving the material bodies, they're not, it's not devotional service. One does not become a saint by opening hospitals. One becomes a true saint by delivering people back to home, back to Godhead. The Catholic Church defines a saint as somebody who can do some kind of mystic power. That's what they call a saint. That's how they determine who's a saint in the Catholic Church. If they can do something outside of the laws of nature, they call them a saint. But anybody can do things outside of the laws of nature just by studying the science of yoga. A true saint is someone who's actually empowered to deliver you back to home, back to God. That is a true saint, not someone who simply takes care of your body.
Isn't that the person who is just serving the body in this lifetime? They may be happy, but they are doing violence, causing violence to the person for their continuation.
Yeah, someone may be just like, if I'm feeding the poor and I'm giving him meat, for example. I fed so many poor people meat. I'm a great saint because I fed meat to so many poor people. I'm letting him translate. So, by feeding so many people meat, does that make me a saint? Let's say I fed 10 million poor people meat. Now I'm a great saint because I fed 10 million poor people. I just sent 10 million poor people to hell. Does that make me a saint? This idea that somebody is a great saint, these are material ideas. We don't accept such nonsense. It's against the scriptures. It's against the laws of karma. Okay, so we'll stop. All right, one last question.
Mokytojas padarė tokį pavyzdį, kad nereikia prašyti kažko konkrečiai, kaip tėvai rūpinasi savo vaikais, iš tikrųjų vaikas neprašo ten pavalgyti, iš tikrųjų duoda, tėvai savaime duoda. Bet kodėl tada mūsų visuomenė yra tiek bomžų, iš tikrųjų? Kas čia per situacija, iš tikrųjų? Jie gal nieko neprašo, bet ir nieko neturi, iš tikrųjų, galėtumo padėtis, iš tikrųjų, yra.
I'm interested, but if you said that God is giving to everybody because we are child, but why in Kaunas there is so many poor people who has no home, homeless people? Why Krishna does not give them something?
Actually, we are homeless because we have run away from home. That's why we're homeless. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.